In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers, sisters, today we're going to speak a little bit about receptivity. And as a warm-up, I want to share with you something that I saw on YouTube from the channel Awaken with JP. Now, JP does not stand for John Parcells. It's not my channel. But I want to share something nonetheless. So this video is about relationships between men and women, in particular, husbands and wives. In the video, the gentleman begins with this introduction. He says, "Men, have you ever gotten in trouble with your lady because you communicated rationally? And has she ever been upset and you made it worse by trying to be sensible? Big mistakes. Well," he says, "make these mistakes no more with my new, quote-unquote, man scripts. They'll keep you and your lady happy as you tell her what she wants to hear." So these man scripts are the way that a man should respond in difficult situations with his lady. I want to share a couple of them with you. First, the more uncomfortable of the two. This is when an argument happens, and the lady is saying to the man that he's simply just wrong, and she's right. This is what the man should respond with. "You know what? You are right. Because of the intensity of your emotions and your willingness to keep naming things that I do wrong that are completely unrelated to the first thing that we're talking about, I can tell you that I'm wrong. I am sorry. I am wrong with all that I do, as well as who I am at the core of my being. Can you ever forgive me despite the fact that my existence is unforgivable?" Okay. I know this is getting a little bit uncomfortable, but here's one that is a little bit not as intense, maybe. So the woman gets a haircut, and she comes and asks her husband what he thinks. Here's what his response should be. "I love it way more than your old style, which is also equal to this one, though, because I always thought that you are just as beautiful as you are now, even though you just got more beautiful than ever. The only thing that can possibly distract me from the beauty of your new hairstyle is the deep, radiant beauty that I see in your eyes at this moment. I think that both of our lives will undoubtedly change for the better because of your new hairstyle." Okay. I think we're sufficiently warmed up, right? Everyone's paying attention. Throw a little humor and everyone's ears perk up, right? Humor has that quality to it. But let's do the receptivity test now. Exhibit A will be our men here. Men were listening, right? How receptive were they to what I just shared with you? If you were receptive as men, raise your hands.
Five, four.
Okay. Now, ladies, you are listening attentively too. How receptive are you to what was just said? Probably not so much, right? Exhibit A, exhibit B on receptivity. We can hear things, we can see things, but we don't always have to agree with them. We don't always have to accept them. Exhibit A and B. You know, when we hear this gospel about the sower going out to sow, we hear it so often that sometimes we kind of tune it out. Maybe we pay more attention to the jokes Father John shares in the sermon than the gospel even. Right? We can do that. We can acknowledge that. Sometimes it's hard to focus when we've heard something already and we think we know all about it. But when we do that, we lose the chance to receive something new for ourselves. And we actually find ourselves falling prey to one of three spiritual giants that threaten us in our Christian life. The fathers speak about three spiritual giants. And I want to share what those three are with you. The first is ignorance. The second, forgetfulness. And the third, carelessness. Ignorance, forgetfulness, and carelessness. These are the things that keep us from God. In the parable, we heard about three different types of soil. The first type of soil, the seed was given to it, but quickly it was taken away. It didn't implant within. And that illustrates for us ignorance. Something is being offered, but we're closed to it. It doesn't penetrate into our understanding. The second, that of forgetfulness, we receive it, but very soon after we receive it, it's lost. Like it sprouts up among the rocks and there's no root there and it's gone. The third, carelessness, speaks to us not about our lack of care in general. We care about many things. But our lack of care about the word of God, the seed in particular. Carelessness. It's when all of those other things that we care about grow up in our life and choke out the word. Ignorance, forgetfulness, and carelessness. These three spiritual giants that we must conquer if we're going to grow in Christ. And who is Christ but the one who offers us everything? St. John says in his gospel that through Moses was given the law. But in Christ we have the fullness of grace and truth. Everything that we could possibly want is given by Christ, this sower, who gives us this grace and this truth and asks us to be receptive. To keep your attention at the height of where we started with the jokes, I have something of a prop that I'd like for Paul. Paul, where are you? Can you bring that up, please? Thank you. So, does everyone know what this is? It is a box, yes, and it's a special box. It's a cube. On the sides of this cube are shapes, right? We're going to go back to our days of being children. That's what we're trying to do in the church, right? Everyone remembers when you had a box like this, and these shapes were actually holes cut out in the box. And your mother or father or someone you're playing with, someone who loves you, gives you one of these shapes, and you have to find out how to orient your box, and then you put the shape in, and you're happy, right? This is an illustration of the human person. And the human person has to be filled with God for us to be happy. And not just happy, but blessed, truly fulfilled. Think about this illustration, this box. We want to always be able to have the right side of the cube facing up so that we can put in our shape, what's given to us. And that's what we try to do in our Christian life. We try to be orientated towards God who is from above. And he drops down to us gifts of truth and grace, like these little shapes. And we try as best we can in this life to catch it. And always to be properly orientated, though, so we can receive what he's trying to give to us. So, for instance, God gives us study and prayers, worship, sacraments, hymnography, iconography, fasting and feasting, all of these different ways that we can orient ourselves towards God to receive his grace. And what is grace but the very nature of God? We receive his energy, his virtue within us through these things. Last night we had our catechumens here for a meeting that started at 3:30, and they were orientating themselves upward. After that meeting, we went right into the Bible study, and they were orienting themselves upward. After that, we went into the Vespers, orientating themselves upward. So we have about an hour and a half, another hour, another hour. What's the math? 3.5 hours. Then we have today's Divine Liturgy, roughly 2 hours. Then we have another 4-hour session later. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But constant orientation upward toward God. That's what the church is all about. And the church is there to help us in this. Now, sometimes it's hard to make sure that our cube is properly aligned. When God is dropping something down, you might say, well, I don't know if that is what I really want. Some fasting is coming in November. Maybe not so much. It's time for another confession. So we turn our cube a little bit, and maybe what was supposed to be received by us slides off. You know what the church does? The church gets us together, lines up our cubes next to one another so we can't tilt. Right? So that in community, we're able to do what we'd not be able to do alone, individually. And we receive this grace and this truth that God has for us. And you know what's very beautiful about this illustration of the community, these cubes next to one another? As the grace comes in from God through the top, as we're orientated to Him, and we're close to one another, that same grace, as it fills us, it becomes part of us. It then can extend outward to those who are next to us. In the church, we receive grace vertically from God and horizontally from one another. What a great gift it is to have each other, to orientate ourselves and to receive grace through each other. But what about these three spiritual giants that we talked about? What were they? Ignorance. What was the other one? Forgetfulness. Yeah, that's right. Forgetfulness and carelessness, right? These three spiritual giants. How do they fit into this illustration? Well, let's say God is about to drop down some grace to us, and we decide, well, I don't know if that's for me. We turn our box to the side, and it falls down and doesn't penetrate, like seed that doesn't go into the earth. Well, what if we do receive it, and then we say, oh, well, I'm not so interested anymore, and then we flip our box upside down. Where does it go? Right out the bottom. There's forgetfulness. What about carelessness? The seed is coming. We want to receive it. But we're so jam full of so many other things that we've stuffed into our cubes, into our boxes, into our persons, that there's no room. That it comes in and it's choked up. It doesn't bear fruit. Ignorance, forgetfulness, and carelessness. These things can be very hard for us. Let's look at some practical examples now about how God could give us His grace in life. So you're at the grocery store. You're in the checkout line. And the person in front of you has like 3,000 items. And it says on the sign very clearly, 7 items or less. Then they realize, oh, I forgot 10 other items. And midway through the checkout, they go and they look for all those other items. What is God trying to give us in that situation? Patience, right? Yeah. So we should have our box set with patience at the top. What happens if we say that, you know, not today. Not today, Lord. I'll learn patience another time. Not now. So we turn our box halfway. Let's say we turn it 90 degrees. So patience is on the side. We don't receive that opportunity to grow in patience. It doesn't come into us. But what if we really turn on God and we say, you know what? Not only am I not going to be patient, it's time for a little impatience. We turn it all the way upside down. What happened to that patience that we had accumulated in the past? Right there on the floor. It's gone. And we're filled with impatience. When we reject the grace of God, we turn on Him. When we reject virtue, we go to vice. Think about charity, an opportunity to help somebody in need, an opportunity to receive the grace of generosity. But what if we're not interested in generosity? So we just kind of look aside, keep walking. But what if we're actually more than that in the sense of not only not interested in being generous to this person, but we're going to tell them that they should get their life in order, They shouldn't be asking for help. And we're going to rail against them. Maybe say something negative to our friends or someone about them. Then we've just turned it all the way upside down, right? And any little measure of generosity we had is gone. Think about fasting days, a chance for self-control. We say, I'm not fasting today. We flip the box upside down and we lose self-restraint. Confession. It's so important for us. God wants to offer us newness of life. And we say, no, not this fasting season. I'll do it when Pascha rolls around. Then I'll turn back to God. So that whole spirit of repentance that we're meant to cultivate and that grace that's meant to be given to us in the sacrament of confession is not filling us anymore. And when we pass on confession, we flip it upside down and that spirit of repentance is being lost. It's dripping out every time we pass it up. November is another fasting time, another time for confession. Don't pass it up. Well, Father John, this all sounds great, except for when we start to receive God's gifts and we start to hold them, as we turn the box, whatever we received is going to fall out the bottom eventually, right? Well, that is a problem, isn't it? Except for the Lord gives us a way to get around that too. He says, as you look to the heights of heaven, keep your feet on the ground. Put this box on the ground. Is anything going to fall out? No. It's called humility. Humility allows us to retain the gifts that God has given to us because we know they're from Him. And we give glory to His name. The parable concludes with the fourth type of soil. And we should say something about this. What is the fourth type of soil but the receptive soil, the one that receives the fullness of grace and truth and bears fruit? You know what happens when a plant brings forth fruit and maturity? It gives off seeds. And sisters, that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to bring forth so much fruit in our lives, to receive so much of the grace and truth of Christ, that we're able to extend it to others. And again, that's what happens in the community of the church. We stay close for that very reason, to receive grace on the horizontal plane. But our job is to receive so much grace, the fullness of grace and truth here, that it extends to others in our lives. Think about our relationships with our family and our friends, our co-workers, our acquaintances. What is pouring out the side of us? Is it the fullness of grace and truth? Is it the divine energy of God? Is it virtue? Or is it perhaps something else? Are vices coming up? Are there just weeds everywhere? Not just infecting our own spiritual life, but infecting others. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to do. And that job is to continue the work of the sower, Jesus Christ. We have to be the people who are entirely filled with the Word of God. Filling ourselves so much with this grace that it overflows into the world. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, always be receptive. Even if you think you've heard it before. Always be humble, always orientate yourself, always be strengthened by one another, and always bring this fruit to fulfillment so it goes into all of the world. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.